What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Giants Nation podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roman. And guys, first of all, I hope you all are having a wonderful Wednesday morning. Guys, tomorrow will be the last week, week number four, as I can say, I just said that just to pronounce it in a different way. But yeah, guys, I'm just going to say last week, you know. So yeah, guys, tomorrow we will be starting off the last week of the NFL preseason. We're going to be having two games being played tomorrow night. Let me check the NFL schedule really quick. So tomorrow night we're going to be having the Pittsburgh Steelers facing the Atlanta Falcons. That game will be happening tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. We're also going to be having Indianapolis Colts against the Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, already did my picks for those games. I'm taking the Falcons over the Steelers, and obviously I'm taking the Colts over the Eagles. And yeah. So let's hope the Eagles lose tomorrow. And yeah. But like I said before, I hope everyone's having a wonderful morning. Guys, we are less than 14 or 15 days away from the start of the NFL regular season, where we're going to be having the Detroit freaking Lions going on the road to Arrowhead Stadium to play Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs will be the defending Super Bowl champs this season. So, yeah, that should be one exciting game to watch. That game will be happening Thursday, September 7th at 8 o'clock p.m. on NBC. So, just giving you guys a heads up right there. But, yeah, guys, I didn't come here to talk about any of that. I didn't come here to talk about the Chiefs or the Lions. You guys know when it comes to my podcast and when it comes to my show, you guys know who I'm about to talk about. I'm about to talk about those New York football Giants. Guys, the New York Giants will be ending their preseason this Saturday against the New York Jets, Jets. And obviously, guys, you all got the report or the update. Aaron freaking Rodgers, that bad man, will be making his debut as a New York Jet. You know, it's going to be exciting. Obviously, these are two teams that a lot of people are excited about, but it seems like more people are more excited about the Jets than the Giants, which is obvious. You know, Aaron freaking Rodgers, you know, we all know what we're going to get when it comes to this guy. You know, this man, in my opinion, is one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. You know, he's a for sure first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, either he wins a Super Bowl or not. You know, Aaron Rodgers did say that he is planning on playing for the Jets for the next 3 or 4 years. You know, so yeah, so it's gonna be very exciting to witness New York football, not just for the Jets, but for the Giants. You know, obviously Daniel Jones was amazing last Friday. You know, Daniel Jones went 8 for 9 for 69 yards and a touchdown. You know, and I just honestly don't think it could get any better than that. You know, I'm excited to see what these new weapons that Joe Shane has added throughout this offseason. Getting Darren Waller in a trade from the Raiders, getting Paris Campbell, re-signing Darius Slayton, drafting Jalen Hyatt, you know. And I can't forget about my defensive players, getting Deontay Banks, Trey Hawkins. Those two guys have been amazing. And obviously, getting the biggest point of the offense. This guy, he's the cherry on top of the ice cream, Saquon freaking Barkley. I'm hoping the Giants can, hopefully the Giants front office and Saquon can get back to the, can get somewhere back to the negotiating table and get a deal done, because I just don't see how the Giants let Saquon go after this season, you know, because he's a big part of this offense. He's meant to be a New York Giant. Saquon, look at, we can say all we want. We can say that he's a liar. I'm not saying that. Anyone else can say that, but I believe everything Saquon says, you know. I think everything Saquon was doing this offseason, I don't think he was being greedy. You know, everyone was calling him greedy because he wanted, you know, people were seeing these reports that this guy wanted $16 million. Everyone called him greedy because he wanted Christian McCaffrey type money, and people are saying that he's nowhere near Christian McCaffrey's talent level. How about we just switch it around and say that Saquon Barkley is, like, let's not say Christian McCaffrey, like, and this is no disrespect to Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, he's a top five running back in the league. You know, there's no question about that. But you can't say Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey are not similar. Both running backs play literally, the way they both play from a talent perspective is very similar. You know, it's very similar. You know, like Saquon hurdles over people, Christian McCaffrey hurdles over people. They're both talented in a very similar way. So the difference between Saquon and Christian McCaffrey is that Christian McCaffrey, he's been playing behind some pretty good offensive lines. You know, he played behind a 49ers team that without a doubt is one of the most talented teams in the NFC. The 49ers are literally one quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. And I don't know. Maybe Brock Purdy is the answer to that. Maybe Brock Purdy will take the 49ers to the Super Bowl. We don't know who the starting quarterback for San Francisco will be. We don't know if it's Sam Darnold. We don't know if it's Trey Lance. No one knows. But outside of the quarterback position, this 49ers team, they are talented in every spot. They got one of the best offensive lines. They got one of the best tight ends in George Kittle. They got a baller in Deebo Samuel. Their defense is for real. Now, we're going to see what happens with the Nick Bosa situation. You know, but this 49ers team overall is very talented. You know, you put Saquon Barkley behind that 49ers offense, I guarantee you, you will not see a difference. The only difference between the two running backs is that Saquon, he's a little bit bigger than Christian McCaffrey. That's the only difference. Other than that, they're very similar, you know? So I just gotta say that. But I'm happy that I'm happy Saquon came back and decided to show up for the team. You know, I'm happy, you know, because like I said before, you know, Saquon, you know, were listening to my podcast 2 or 3 days ago, I said that Saquon needs Daniel Jones and Daniel Jones needs Saquon. And it's very, and it, there's a lot of evidence to prove that. Go back to the year of 2020 when Daniel Jones got hurt. Saquon was on the field. When Saquon was on the field, the Giants, when Daniel Jones went down and Saquon was the only, when this one, Mike Glennon was starting for the Giants. The Giants went, what, 0-6? You know? And when Saquon went out and Daniel Jones was balling, the Giants still struggled. But that wasn't the only problem. The offensive line was a mess. You know, most of our starters were hurt. Last year when both guys were healthy, behind, you know, working, playing for a head coach that actually cares about their health, that cares about their talent, you know, you can see how dominant these two are, you know? So I'm just happy Joe Shane found a way to get these two back on the Giants, because you know that was the biggest topic for the Giants this entire offseason. Who is Joe, you know, what's going to happen between Daniel Jones and Saquon? Who's Joe Shane going to pay? We all knew Daniel Jones was going to be the one, because, and look at, we can say all this crap about, oh, he's not talented, he's not a Josh Allen. So what? It's not about the player, it's about the position. Daniel Jones is a quarterback. He plays the most important position now in today's game. It doesn't matter about what Daniel Jones did in his first 4 years in a New York Giants uniform. And we all know, you know, the true Giants fans that actually know what they're talking about. We all, the true ones, the smart ones, we know that the media and all these critics, they're trying to separate Daniel Jones and Saquon, because they're basically trying to put the two against each other. They're trying to say that Daniel Jones is not better than Saquon Barkley at their own positions. Oh, Saquon Barkley's a top player at his position, but Daniel Jones, he's nowhere near a top player at his position. Le'Veon Bell saying Daniel Jones, he's a bottom 10 quarterback. Name me any quarterback in the NFC that's better than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, at best, and I said this yesterday, at best, he's the second best quarterback in the NFC behind Jalen Hurts. He's better than Dak. Even though I loved what I saw from Sam Howell, he's better than Sam Howell. He's better than Kirk Cousins. He's better than Justin Fields. He's better than Brock Purdy. He's better than give me a quarterback that's near Daniel Jones' talent level. Okay, I'll make it easier. Who won more playoff games than Daniel Jones in the NFC besides from Jalen Hurts? Dak Prescott didn't. Dak Prescott, he's only got what, 2 playoff wins? Out of all, what's Dak's playoff record? 2-4? Daniel Jones is 1-1. You know? So, if Daniel Jones wins 2 playoff games, he's going to have more playoff wins than Dak Prescott. You know? I don't want to go into detail, you know? But Daniel Jones, at best, he's the second best quarterback in his division. You know? Micah Parsons, He said he does. Micah Parsons, who is literally the best defensive player in the entire league of football, he says he doesn't see a difference between Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. So Micah Parsons, he's basically saying he doesn't see a difference. You put Daniel Jones. So what he's basically saying, you put Daniel Jones behind the Eagles. He's saying that Daniel Jones will also take the Eagles to the Super Bowl. And this is Micah Parsons. This is one of the best defensive players in the entire NFL, not just in the NFC. This is a defensive rookie of the year, a future Hall of Famer, a defensive player of the year. He's comparing Daniel Jones to Jalen Hurts, and I don't disagree with him. I don't. They're not different. The only difference is the talent that was surrounded by the two. Jalen Hurts was playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the league. He had A.J. Brown. He had Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith should have went to the Giants, but the Eagles stole him from us. You know? He has Dallas Goedert. He had Miles Sanders. Everywhere you looked on the Eagles, there was top-tier talent. And that's why I said going into that divisional round game, I would not be surprised if we got blown out. That's why I wasn't so worried about this game. Because we were overmatched at every perspective of that game. The Eagles had one of the best defense. The Eagles defense was the first defense to have more sacks than the 85 Bears. That's how good they were. There was no chance for us. I just can't wait. I can't wait when Daniel Jones goes into the season with real pure talent and prove all these idiots wrong. I just can't wait. But I think we're getting off track here. I just had to get that off my chest. I'm not playing games. I'm going to come on here every single day, and I'm gonna back up Daniel Jones. And people keep telling me, "Ooh, Justin, stop following your heart and think of, you know, stop following your heart and actually follow the player." It's not me following my heart. It's me being a Giants fan, and it's me speaking facts. I'm pretty sure any of you, if you're a real fan of your team, you'll do the same thing. Trust me, you'll do the same thing. I'm not following my heart. I'm just sick and tired of when people speak out things that aren't facts. How is it a fact when you talk about a quarterback coming out of a trash college with trash players and he was not given anything? And you guys are going to say obviously he's going to struggle. Just because a quarterback struggles doesn't mean he sucks. When Josh Allen came out of Wyoming State, when he went to the Bills, Josh Allen was horrible, but none of you guys talk trash about Josh Allen, but you want to talk trash about Daniel Jones. Because everyone looks at Daniel Jones like he's a modern day Eli, and I'm sick and tired of it. I'm done. He's not. People should respect Eli, because what he did, if Eli Manning never existed, Tom Brady would have had 9-10 rings. Eli Manning, he's the reason that Tom Brady didn't. He's the reason Tom Brady doesn't have more rings than he has right now. If Eli Manning never existed, Tom Brady would have had the most rings out of, he would have far more rings. Why do you think Eli, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame either way? But he's not Eli Manning. The actions, the way Daniel Jones acts in the press conference or in the press meeting, yeah, you could say it's very similar to Eli. But when it comes to on the field, the two are not similar. You don't see, I dare you to even try to name me a quarterback in Giants history that's doing the things that Daniel Jones could ever do. You can't. Because obviously, the game has changed, and the way quarterbacks play now is different. Quarterbacks nowadays, you don't see a quarterback just taking three steps back and just throwing it. You don't see that anymore. You see quarterbacks using their legs more, being more athletic. You know, because the game has changed. The way defenses go at you is way different now. Defensive players are bigger now. They're much more athletic. They're stronger. The game has changed in so many, you know, in so many areas, you know. So obviously Daniel Jones, he's not an Eli Manning, because obviously the two eras that both quarterbacks played in were entirely different. The era that had Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, that era, it's totally different from the era with these new guys. So I don't have to say much, because I know my quarterback, because he plays for my team. Because this is the one thing I do every day. Once I get on the internet, I search up the Giants. And I search up Daniel Jones. And I see I hear updates on what happens with the Giants. You know? So, yeah. I just can't wait. Once Daniel Jones, I'm not gonna say a successful season for Daniel. A successful season for Daniel Jones doesn't have to be going to the Super Bowl. I would say at least going to the NFC Championship game. That's a successful season, and it could happen. The Giants were two wins away from entering the NFC Championship game, and I think I would not be surprised if it happens, because the Giants are playing one of the best divisions in the NFC. You know, the Giants are much more talented now, and there's a lot, you know, they got real leadership in Brian Daboll. He knows how to coach players, you know. But I think we're getting off track here. I just wasted 23 minutes talking about Daniel Jones. But the reason why I came on here is because I wanted to do another list with you guys today. My list for today, this is another roster. This is going to be another one of my roster projections. So everything I say, you know, it may not happen. It may happen. I don't know. But my list for today, I'm going to be, a lot of you guys were asking me some good questions. And one question that I really want to get down to is, how many wide receivers will make the main roster for the Giants? And that's what my list is going to be on today. So yeah, here we go. So obviously we're less than 3 weeks away. The Giants will duke it out with the Cowboys in their season opener at MetLife Stadium. But before obviously we get Obviously, before we get there, the Giants will have to finalize their 53-man roster. A month into training camp and two preseason games in the books, this roster is starting to take shape. You know, the main storyline of the Giants' 21-19 victory over the Panthers on Friday night was the high-flying first-string offense. But key position battles were also determined. So that being said, here's my latest 53-man roster projections. At quarterback, I still have Tyrod Taylor backing up Daniel Jones. And here's why. Daniel Jones, obviously, I already talked about how impressive he was, you know, on last Friday. He went 8 for 9 on the opening drive for 69 yards and a touchdown, and rushed for another 6 on one attempt. You know, he found his new target in Darren Waller 3 times on the drive, also. And it, you know, and he threw the ball to Darren Waller a 4th time, but Darren Waller dropped it. Brian Daboll took Daniel Jones out of the game after the opening drive because he had nothing left to show. You know, obviously this guy, he's locked in and he's ready for the season opener. And in Sports Illustrated, in his Sports Illustrated column Monday morning, quarterback NFL insider Albert Breer said the Giants have legitimate confidence in Daniel Jones. Danny Dimes also put on around 10 pounds of muscle. You know, obviously that is music to the ears of Giants fans. You know, but Daniel Jones wasn't the only one who also had a good day. Tyrod Taylor also had a really good day. You know, Tyrod posted a strong 114.3 passer rating during Friday's win over the Panthers, and threw a touchdown to rookie Jalin Hyatt. Tyrod, you know, he's on a short list for the best backup in football award. You know, like, if Tommy DeVito wasn't as sharp in the Giants' second preseason game as in the first, but he has likely secured a practice squad spot. You know, so that's my roster projection at the quarterback spot. My roster projection at running back. I still have Matt Breida and Eric Gray backing up Saquon Barkley. So obviously I still see 3 running backs on the Giants main roster. And here's why. I mean, Saquon, obviously he was the only starter on the Giants who didn't play in Friday's game. Brian Daboll correctly set his star running back, as there's no reason to put him at risk in a meaningless game. Matt Breida, you know, who was Saquon Barkley's backup in 2022, started the second preseason game in place of Barkley. A strong indication he will be Barkley's primary backup again in 2023. Eric Gray, he also got the bulk of the playing time on Friday, rushing for 16 yards on 5 attempts. He recorded a rushing touchdown late in the second quarter. With Gary Brightwell sidelined due to injury, Eric Gray has become the primary punt and kick returner. Eric Gray displayed his kick returning intelligence, letting a ball drop and roll out of bounds at the 1 for a kickoff out of bounds penalty. The Giants got the ball at the 40-yard line. The only knock I have on Eric Gray is his pass protection, which, to put it nicely, has been suspect. Jashawn Corbin is the one to watch in the Giants' backfield. You know, he had just 5 yards on 7 attempts last Friday, but he has flashed his explosive abilities this summer. James Robinson rushed for 1,000 yards as a rookie with Jacksonville in 2020, but he doesn't look remotely like that player this summer. So that's my That's my projection. That's my roster projection for the running back spot. Now here's the roster projection that everyone wants to know about. The wide receivers. Obviously, this is a very deep wide receiver room. I have Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell. I have Sterling Shepard making it to the main roster as well. Wando Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, Cole Beasley, and Bryce. Look, I'm adding Bryce Ford-Wheaton to the main roster. I don't care. And the receivers I don't see, the receivers I still see, the receivers I see making it to the practice squad is Colin Johnson, Jameson Crowder, Khalil Pimpleton, David Sills, and Jaden Mickens. And here's why. I mean, there is only one significant change in this group from last week's projection. The inclusion of Bryce Ford-Wheaton. Joe Shane joined Bob Papa and Carl Banks in the booth during the third quarter last Friday and promptly spoke glowingly of Bryce Ford-Wheaton. You know, this is what Joe Shane said, quote unquote, about Bryce Ford-Wheaton. He said, Bryce Ford-Wheaton is a young guy that's done a good job on special teams tonight as a gunner. You know, that's an important part of it. You have 53 on the roster, and when you go to your game day, it's important what you can do on fourth down as well. Obviously, it looks like Joe Shane's craving the West Virginia's product versatility, you know, which could be why he makes the roster. You know, eight seems like a lot of wide receivers, but it makes sense. Cole Beasley was he was the Giants' leading wideout in the preseason opener, but suffered a leg injury a week ago. His timetable to return is unknown, which could put him on the wrong side of the bubble or the pup list. Isaiah Hodgins and Paris Campbell, who obviously are, I'm assuming it's going to be two of the Giants' starting wideouts, combined for 5 catches and 68 yards in limited time on Friday. Jalen Hyatt was one of the game's stars. Obviously, we all saw what this kid can do, creating massive separation and hauling in a deep touchdown from Tyrod Taylor. And that's something that the Giants have struggled with for some time, is finding receivers that can actually, create separation. That's my roster projection for the Giants wide receiver room. Let's get to the offensive line. The players I see starting for the Giants offensive line, or making it to the main roster for the Giants offensive line, is Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, Tyree Phillips, John Michael Schmitz, Mark Lewinsky, Ben Bredesen, Joshua Zudu, Marcus McKeithen, and Matt Peart. The players I see on the practice squad are Shane Lemieux, Davey Hamilton, Jack Anderson, Wyatt Davis, Corey Cunningham. Obviously, look at Andrew Thomas stepped onto the field in a real game for the first time since signing a 5-year, $117.5 million extension this offseason. Andrew Thomas, he's playing up to his contract. You know, he allowed 0 pressures and 10 snaps. You know, Evan Neal played 28 snaps and was dominant as well, aside from one snap where LeBron Ray beat him for a sack at Tyrod Taylor. John Michael Schmitz, I'm excited to see this kid. He was steady again. And though it's not official, he's obviously going to start the season opener at center. Obviously, both guard positions are up for grabs, and it looks as though we will see a rotation this fall. Mark Lewinsky, the incumbent right guard, played 22 snaps at right guard. Ben Bredesen, the incumbent left guard, played 12 snaps at right guard and 10 at left guard, while 2022 third-round pick Joshua Zudu played 24 snaps at left guard. Ben Bredesen has been, as I said yesterday, this guy has been the best guard in the Giants camp this summer. His ability to play on either side of the line literally allows Brian Daboll and offensive lines coach Bobby Johnson to move him around the play, to move him around and play the best five linemen. You know, Matt Peart was the first tackle off the bench last Friday, indicating he will be the third tackle. Marcus McKeithen has yet to partake in a preseason game as he is still recovering from a torn ACL last summer. The 2022 fifth round pick will likely stick around. Joe Shane could add depth to the guard and tackle spots in the coming weeks. So that's my projection for the offensive line. Now to the tight ends. Obviously, I have Darren Waller making it. Daniel Bellinger, I obviously see him making it to the main roster. Now, obviously, we're going to see who the true backups are for both tight ends. And it's obviously, it's clearly going to be Lawrence Cager and Tommy Sweeney. Obviously, the other two tight ends I got making it to the main to the practice squad is Chris Myrick and Ryan Jones. Darren Waller, as we all saw, he caught three passes for 30 yards in his one drive on the field Friday. I mean, his size, his athleticism, and his athletic rapport with Daniel Jones was very evident. You know, he will be the focal point of this passing attack for the Giants offense. You know, and we must remember Daniel Bellinger as well. You know, the second-year tight end caught a touchdown last Friday night from Daniel Jones, and he should be on the field a lot this fall. You know, Daniel Bellinger's, just his excellent blocking complements Darren Waller's pass-catching prowess perfectly. You know, Lawrence Cager he's been quiet recently, but, you know, he's still third in the tight end pecking order. And Tommy Sweeney, he's right on the bubble, but squeaks in for now. You know, so that's my projection for the tight ends. For the defensive line, obviously I got Dexter Lawrence making it. I got Leonard Williams making it. I got A'shaun Robinson, Raheem Nunez-Rocha is making it. And I got Jordan Riley making it to the main roster. And I also got DJ Davidson making it to the main roster. Now, this is going to be interesting to all of you guys, but I'm going to explain why. And obviously, the other players I see making it to the practice squad, I got Ryder Anderson, Kobe Smith, Brandon Bryant, and Kevin Atkins. Here's why I have DJ Davidson and Jordan Riley making it. And obviously, you guys heard yesterday, I was saying that that I don't know if DJ Davidson could make it to the main roster because of his injury, and Jordan Riley could be he looks like the one player that could make it to the main roster and take DJ Davidson's spot. Well, hear me out. We have not heard much from Leonard Williams this summer, but he played like a man with his hair on fire during Monday's practice. Leonard Williams, obviously, he's in a contract year, which generally adds extra motivation for players. You know, Dexter Lawrence, A'shaun Robinson, and Raheem Nunez-Rocha are roster locks, obviously. Joe Shane spoke this offseason about the defensive line wearing down last season, which should not happen with the depth at this position this year, especially if six D linemen crack the roster. Jordan Riley, the rookie, received reps with the first team defense on Friday night. DJ Davidson was recently activated from the PUP list and will give the Giants another nose tackle option in three-man fronts. So that's my projection for the defensive line. Now to the outside linebackers, or the pass rushers, you can say. My list, it's a little bit different. I got Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari starting. I got Jahad Ward making it to the main roster. I got Timon Fox making it to the main roster. And I also have Oshane Ximenes making it to the main roster. The only two players I still don't see making it to the main roster for the Giants pass rushers is Habakkuk Baldonado and Tashaun Bowser. Kayvon Thibodeau had a sack in his first preseason action. last Friday and dominated Evan Neal during Monday's practice. Seth Walder, an NFL analyst, analytics writer for ESPN, developed a sack model that projected Kayvon Thibodeau with 6.5 sacks this year, which is 39th in the NFL, and Aziz Ojulari with 7.3, which is the 25th most. Well, Shane Ximenes was not included. He wasn't included in last week's projection, but on my list, but he made it this week. I mean, on Friday, Shane Ximenes registered 3 pressures, tied with Tashaun Bowser for most on the team, 3 hurries, which is also most on the team, and a 57.1 pass rush win rate, which is the highest on the team. Tashaun Bowser has had a sneaky good training camp, but he's on the outside looking in. So that's my projection for the pass rushers for the Giants defense. Now to the inside linebackers. Obviously, I got Bobby Okereke making it to the main roster. And obviously, there's been a lot of chatter on who will be starting at inside linebacker. Who will be the second starting inside linebacker? Is it going to be Darian Beavers or Micah McFadden? I still believe it's Darian Beavers. But I also have Micah McFadden making it to the main roster as well. You know, here's why. Now, obviously, the other players I don't. I don't see making it to the main roster, but I do say these players making it to the practice squad. It's Cam Brown, Carter Coughlin, Deontay Johnson, and Troy Brown. Here's why: Bobby Okereke made his Giants debut last Friday and recorded 7 tackles in 18 snaps. This guy wore the green dot Friday, indicating he will be the defensive signal caller. The veteran middle linebacker signed a 4-year, $40 million deal this offseason. That deal was the most under-talked about the Giants deal this offseason, but it's by far the most significant addition the Giants defense made. Micah McFadden, obviously he's ahead of Darian Beavers for the second starting spot, but I do expect both players to play a lot of snaps this fall. You know, Troy Brown and Carter Coughlin are good special teamers, but defensively provide very little value. The nail in the coffin for Troy Brown could be an injury that has kept him off the field for the last week. Bryce Ford Wheaton also provides value offensively and has taken a gunner spot on special teams, which could force Troy Brown off the roster if his health does not improve rapidly. Joe Shane, obviously, we all know that Joe Shane loves versatility. Carter Coughlin and Troy Brown don't provide any of that. I only have 3 players on the projected roster for now, but the Giants, I wouldn't be surprised if they look to add depth, you know, for the outside players to this group, you know. So that's my projection for the inside linebacker spot. And last but not least, the Giants cornerbacks, safeties, and special teams. My projection for the secondary for the cornerbacks. Obviously, I have Adoree Jackson. I also have Deontay Banks making it. I have Cordell Flott making it to the main roster, and I have Trey Hawkins III making it to the main roster. Obviously, the players I don't see making it is Aaron Robinson, Imani Awarie, Jermon Green, Alex Cook, Darren Evans, and Darnay Holmes, and Zion Gilbert. And here's why. Look, Deontay Banks and Trey Hawkins have both surpassed expectations this summer. The two rookies have taken strangleholds on the outside corner starting positions, which has literally enabled Wink Martindale to move Adoree Jackson into the slot. Cordell Flott and Darnay Holmes played slot corner last fall, but both of those guys are now stuck behind Adoree Jackson on the depth chart. Cordell Flott, who's just 21 years old, has started to take reps on the outside, but is likely to It looks like Cordell Flott is likely to still. Looks like he's going to be the slot corner of the future for the Giants defense. And obviously, the Giants can save $2.7 million by cutting Darnay Holmes. That money is better used filling holes at other positions than corner number five. The Giants obviously started cutting corners last Saturday. Obviously, they waived Re'Darius Williams, who the Buccaneers claimed. So that's my projection for the second for the cornerbacks. For the safeties, obviously I have Xavier McKinney. I got Jason Pinnock. I got Dane Belton making it. I got Javarius Owens making it. And I also got Nick McCloud making it. So those are all the players I see making it. Making it to the main roster for the safety spot. The only players I don't see making it to the main roster, but to the practice squad, is Alex Cook and Bobby McCain. Here's why. The Giants obviously kept three safeties in their intentional roster last summer, but I am projecting five. You know, Nick McCloud has the versatility to play both corner and safety. That versatility will be key with only four corners on the projected roster. Bobby McCain was projected to be the starter alongside Xavier McKinney, but he has struggled this summer. You know, Javarius Owens, Dane Belton, and Jason Pinnock, all three guys have all leapfrogged the veteran on the depth chart. You know, Jason Pinnock suffered a minor leg injury and missed practice Monday. Dane Belton replaced him in the lineup, indicating he's the third safety. Javarius Owens should be the fourth safety. This summer, Alex Cook has been a pleasant surprise as well and should find a spot on the practice squad. So that's my projection for the safety spot for the Giants and obviously for the special teams. I got Graham Gano making it. I got Jamie Gillian making it. I got Casey Kreider making it for the Giants special teams. The one player I see making it to the main roster for the Giants special teams is Cameron Lyons. Graham Gano and Jamie Gillian only got a little work on Friday. Casey Kreider against the Lions. Casey Kreider versus Cameron Lyons. That's clear. That's literally the only battle in the special teams department, but it isn't much of an actual fight. Casey Kreider played five snaps. Friday to Cameron Lyons one snap. So that's my projection for the special teams. And yeah, guys, those are my. Yeah, guys, that's my roster projection for the New York Giants. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing goes down. I'm excited. Obviously, guys, there's still plenty of training camp left. And, hey, all 90 players will have an opportunity to show what they can do against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. I was about to say the Green Bay Packers again. You know, don't forget, guys, that game will be happening this upcoming Saturday at MetLife Stadium on the NFL Network if they show it at 6:30 p.m. 6 o'clock p.m. Six o'clock p.m. Yeah, guys, that's all I got to say about that. That's all I have for you guys today. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Let me know how you guys feel about my roster projection. Like I said, this is just my projection. Doesn't mean it's really gonna happen. You know, so it's gonna be very exciting to see who makes it to the main roster. And obviously it's gonna suck to see who doesn't. But that's the business side of the NFL. You know? So yeah, guys, that's all I have for you today. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. I will keep you guys updated for more news about the Giants or more updates if there are any. I'll also keep you guys updated for more lists if I have any. as well. And if there's any questions or comments you guys have for me, you guys already know what to do. Go down in the comments, go down in the Q&A section, and just feel free to ask me or tell me anything. I'm free. I'm all ears. But until then, guys, I'm out. And I also hope everyone has a wonderful rest of your day. Until then, I'm out. Peace.